For today's message, we will first learn the background to this story, and then I want to present to you briefly three short blessings that God has in store for his people. Then, the background first. Though we read here in chapter 6, we need to go back to chapter 4. There we will find the Philistines and the Israelites are at war. And in this war, the Philistines routed the Israelites. 34,000 of Israel's soldiers were killed. Moreover, they captured the Israel's most holiest symbol, which is the Ark of the Covenant. Since the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, both the Philistines and the Israelites, they thought that God was captured. Today, sometimes it does appear as if God is captured. You see, in today's God's holy symbol, which is his church, doesn't it seem very powerless? And if the church is powerless, is that also a reflection of God's powerlessness? Which is here why they think if he's captured, then he must be powerless. Then if we go to chapter 5 then, since bringing the Ark of the Covenant to their city, instead of enjoying God's powerlessness because he was captured, we are told instead that there were disasters the Philistines began to experience. It started with the humiliation of their god named Dagon, first by laying prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant and then having his heads and arms broken off. Suddenly, their city, Ashdod, experienced an outbreak of tumors, killing many, many people. So they moved the Ark of the Covenant to a new city named Gath, and sure enough, the people in the city suffered the same fate. Tumors broke out, killing many people. Still, unwilling to admit that it was God's doing, they moved the Ark of the Covenant to a third city named Ekron. And just as has happened in the two previous cities, tumors also broke out, killing many, many people. Finally, the Philistines gave in to the thought that God might actually be doing this. But just in case he wasn't, they were going to set up a test that only God's miraculous power can make it happen. Or otherwise, it will fail. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, please. Now then, get a new cart ready with two cows that have calved and have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pen them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart, and in a chest beside it, put the gold objects you are sending back to him as a guilt offering. Send it on his way, but keep watching it. If he goes up to his own territory toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if he does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, and that it happened to us by chance, they say. As we will see, not one, but three obvious reasons this was a test set up to fail. The first test, as we'll see, as we just read in verse 7, is bringing two cows that have never been yoked together, they'll be yoked. You see, cows who have never been yoked together will never know how to travel, never mind a short distance. But 7 miles of winding, treacherous, difficult, agonizing roads. You see, the city of Ekron going to the Israelite city of Beth Shemesh, those are two cities in two different countries, and their distance is about 7 miles. And that's what these two cows, without any guidance, were meant to go without a hitch. See, that was the first test. Travel the 7 miles between two cities, then they said, this must be God's doing. And they would acknowledge. Second test. Again, from verse 7 there. We see that cows that had given birth to calves will be separated from their babies. Normally, cows, like any mothers, would instinctively be pulled towards their calves. So the second test is here is this. Because their motherly instinct is to go where their babies are, but somehow, if these two cows will march towards a faraway Israelite town away from their babies, then once again, they say they would acknowledge this must be God's doing. Are you following? Have I made it too confusing for you? Come on, let's follow me, okay? I'll give you one more test here. The third test. Not explicitly written, but clearly understood. This long and rough road will definitely be filled with bandits. You see, when a cart is carrying 10 pieces of gold, without soldiers guarding them, without any person guiding them, that will be a guarantee that some bad people will certainly steal them. But somehow, if these two cows with the cart of gold will survive and reach the Israelite town, then once again, they are saying, this must be the hand of God that is guiding them. So each one of the tests was meant to fail. And to have all three together means there is absolutely no way this can possibly succeed unless. You see, despite these three impossible obstacles, these two cows do the unexpected. They do the impossible. They really do the miraculous. And look what they do. Let me take you to verse 12, chapter 6. This is the conclusion. After this, I'm going to present to you the three blessings that I believe comes from this passage. Verse 12, he says, then the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road, lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or to the left. The ruler of the Philistines followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. In other words, the Philistines, at a distance, carefully examine and observe to see if these two cows will really go to their destination. And they saw the cows never veer. They went straight up from the Philistine town of Ekron to the Israelite town of Beth Shemesh. See, that's the story of our passage today. That's the background. Now I'll present to you the blessings that come from these passages. Now let me highlight for you three incredible blessings from these cows. And I pray that these blessings will bless all God's people and especially the members of this church here as you are once again starting this incredible ministry under the leadership of Pastor Moon. The first blessing I want to present to you is this. What these two cows did spoke clearly and powerfully to both the Jews and the Philistines. In fact, to all the people who are also reading this passage, God's word, which means you and I, what is the message that is giving to us? It is this, that God was present. God was present. See, these animals obey. They march straight to Beth Shemesh, neither turning to the right or the left. All who saw what these cows did clearly saw the hand, the invisible hand of God that would lead these cows. You see, friends, that is what our lives should be like. Through God's people obedience, the people of the world must see the invisible hand of God present in our lives. May I remind us? God is not merely calling us to obedience. Obedience is a means. So you see, Christianity is never just do it, folks. We don't simply obey for the sake of obedience. That's not Christianity. Obedience has an objective, and what is that? Through our obedience, we are displaying for the whole world to see that our God really is present. So let me encourage you and challenge you today, dear folks. Is your life of obedience displaying the presence of God in your life? That's what he wants us to see. Second, the second blessing that I glean from this passage is this. Notice how these cows march to their destination. In verse 12, as we just read, did you catch that word? The cows, as they march, were lowing all the way. In other words, the cows were crying. You see, they obey despite the tears and the pain they felt in their march. To be yoked with another was difficult. To leave their calves was unbearable. And yet, as God's hand was guiding them and in their obedience, despite the tears streaming down their faces, what do? They obey despite the tears. That is how it is sometimes in our Christian walk, isn't it? Have you, especially for those of you who serve faithfully in the church, have you not experienced heartaches? Sure, you encounter difficulties and stumbling blocks and hindrances and painful experiences. Of course you did. Ministry, as any pastors would tell you, in our sincerity, if ever you should catch us humbled and sincere, we would all confess it's really, really hard. There are times at home, tears just open up like a floodgate. They pour. It really, really hurts. But that's the message here again from the cows. Despite the tears flowing, because it's hard, do they stop the march? Do they veer? They don't, do they? They march straight in the will of the Father. That's how it is, the Christian walk sometimes. Just because the tears are coming, you must not stop. In fact, may I say, when we can obey God even through the tears, doesn't it speak to the worthiness of our God? Finally, the third blessing is this. When the cows arrive to their destination, look at verse 14, what happens to them? It says, they were offered as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, some of you might think, oh my God, that is horrible. They get killed, you might say. Perhaps temporarily, physically, judgment by sight, that may be the conclusion. But if you have this incredible heavenly view, then you will see this long and difficult journey. It's not a sad ending, quite the contrary. It's a glorious ending. You see, these cows became an offering to God. And that's my prayer for all God's people and the members of this church, that you become an offering to our God, so that all the people who see you will testify that God is really, truly present amongst you. That you are faithful and obedient even through the tears. And your offering looks so attractive that people in the world would hunger to know the God you are worshiping in this place. As I close, let me redirect your focus a bit. As beautiful your offering to our God can be, there is an even greater offering, and that is the offering of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. You see, only because Jesus offered up his life, only because Jesus went to the cross for us, all the evil, the dirty, the shameful words, these thoughts and intentions, they are cleansed from his people. And so my prayer as I conclude this message for all God's people, it is these twofold things. First, always delight to offer yourselves as an offering before our God. Second, proclaim to all people near and far that Christ Jesus is the true offering that cleanses all of our sins away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in your infinite wisdom, you will use cows, beasts, animals, that we will look down, and yet, Lord, you use them gloriously today to teach us of your presence in this world. To teach us, Lord, despite the tears, you are so worthy, we ought to follow joyfully. And to teach us, Lord, in the end, after the long and difficult journey, there is a glorious ending because, Lord, like the cows, our lives can be an offering to you. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that all God's people would truly understand, believe, and therefore give themselves to truly live after the incredible will that you have given to us. Amen.